Governor David Ige put his veto pen to work. The governor officially vetoed 18 bills passed by state lawmakers in the 2019 session. Among them was a controversial measure that received broad legislative support to restrict the ability of state and local law enforcement to seize private property. It's a process called civil asset forfeiture. Revenue from the sale of seized property is used to supplement the budgets of police departments. Ige vetoed the bill because he doesn't think Hawaii has the problems that other jurisdictions do.
I do believe that we have safeguards in place today to avoid the abuse that is cited often. Certainly anyone pursuing a forfeiture would have to submit it to the Attorney General's office for review, and they make determinations about whether they believe that the asset forfeiture would be appropriate. They do reject a number of requests because they believe that it wouldn't be appropriate. I do know that the legislative auditor had noted that we don't have rules, and certainly I've asked the Attorney Generals to put a priority on the development of rules so that it can be completed before the end of the calendar year. You know, the revenues that are generated from the property have become an important part of our law enforcement activities. I think for the most part, I think it's been a good balance of being able to generate revenues to augment law enforcement activities. It's not that they get all of the funds received. Some of that does come to the general fund.
The Hawaii chapter of the ACLU supported the effort to restrict civil asset forfeiture's use in Hawaii. Mandy Fernandez is the group's policy director. She spoke with HPR's Ryan Finnerty before the veto.
Civil asset forfeiture is the process by which the government can seize and auction off your property and then keep the proceeds without ever having to charge you with a criminal offense. The purported purpose for civil asset forfeiture is to stop the commission of criminal activity. So if there's some large-scale drug operation, they seize the assets, and then those assets, since they're seized, cannot be used in the commission of criminal activity.
And this can be done as soon as someone's charged with a crime, right? There doesn't even need to be a conviction?
There doesn't even need to be charges. Under Hawaii law and the civil asset forfeiture program, they don't even need to charge you with a criminal offense in order to seize your property and or even to finally forfeit your property and sell it at auction.
And so what are the criteria as it currently stands for when law enforcement in Hawaii can make use of this power?
So the process is that it will start with the seizing agency, usually the county police department, so say HPD. And HPD, will suspect that the property is being used in the commission of a covered offense that's covered as eligible for forfeiture under the forfeiture statute. And then HPD will seize the property and then transfer the case over to the prosecuting attorney, which will determine whether it is probable that the property is subject to forfeiture. And then the prosecuting attorney will initiate administrative or judicial proceedings against the property within 45 days of the written request by the seizing agency.
So I know there was a report from the state auditor in 2018, and it showed that in 30% of cases, there were either no charges or the charges were dropped in these instances where civil asset forfeiture was used. What kind of recourse do private citizens have whose property is seized in this way when the charges are ultimately dropped or no charges are even filed at all?
So if your property is taken, you have two options. The first is that you can file a petition for remission or mitigation. And in doing so, you admit that the property itself is eligible for forfeiture, except for some sort of mitigating circumstances. Those circumstances could be that you're the innocent property owner, that you didn't know that it was going to be used in this way, but you're essentially admitting that the property itself is guilty, but you are not. And if you are challenged, but if you want to challenge the actual validity of the forfeiture, say you think it's a wrongful forfeiture, the property was not used in the commission of any criminal activity, then you have to go to court. So almost all property forfeitures are going to be done just administratively. And so unless you challenge it, you're never going to get your day in court. But in order to challenge it, you have to put up a bond. and then you have to pay your own court fees and fines, your own attorney's fees, and all you stand to get back at the end of the day if the court finds in your favor is the property that was taken away from you. But if you lose, what you're risking is that not only do you lose all the money that you've already spent, you know, on attorneys or the fines and stuff, but you also have to pay the attorney's fees of the state. They don't have to pay your attorney's fees if you win, but you have to pay their attorney's fees if you lose. So most people will not challenge the forfeitures.
And then you could potentially be losing something as important as your vehicle or your home.
Exactly. So for homes, that's going to go through judicial proceedings. But for almost all forfeitures, they're going to be either cash or vehicles or some other type of personal property that's not real property or that's not your home. And that's going to go through administratively. But yeah, so exactly. So a lot of these situations, even if it's a couple thousand dollars or if it's your vehicle, that's still significant enough to create serious consequences for your personal life or your livelihood if that's taken from you. So even if at the end of the day it's returned to you, if you don't have your car for a year and a half while they're deciding this, then you may have lost your job, you lose your mode of transportation to get your kids to school. There are so many collateral consequences down the road for people who have their property taken away from them.
And that was going to be my next question. About how long does this process normally take to play out if someone does choose to challenge it?
So the state auditor's report found that the program took over a year and a half on average to process a petition for administrative forfeiture.
And so there was a bill passed by state lawmakers this year to try and change the way that this process is administered in Hawaii. Could you give us a little bit of an overview of what was in that bill and if you have a sense why the governor chose to make the decision that he did?
Sure. So this bill, House Bill 748, was one of the most, if not the most important civil rights bills that came out of the 2019 session. And it did three things. So first, it required a conviction of the property owner before the state can finally forfeit a piece of personal property through its civil asset forfeiture program. So before they can sell it off at auction, there has to actually be a criminal conviction of an underlying felony offense of the property owner. And the second is that they made it just felonies and not misdemeanors as well. So right now, it can be for certain felonies or certain felony or misdemeanors. And third, it directed all proceeds into the general fund rather than to the seizing agency or the prosecuting attorney's office. So right now, 50% will go to the attorney general's office, but 25% is going to go back to the seizing agency, usually the county police department. That was the initial point of contact for the forfeiture. And then another 25% is automatically going to go to the prosecuting attorney's office. So the people who are charged with initiating these forfeitures stand to directly profit from them. And that's what this measure sought to address.
How does Hawaii's program compare to what's done in other states?
So there are quite a few other states that have this sort of program with a bar that's as low as ours. But there are also many states that are looking to reform their civil asset forfeiture programs because what they're finding is they're not being used as originally intended. So this law would take Hawaii from being at the bottom of the pack to at the forefront of this issue.
And in announcing his veto, the governor, Governor David Ige, said that he didn't feel there were abuses of civil asset forfeiture by Hawaii police departments in the way that has been documented in other states. What has ACLU of Hawaii seen in that department? Is that a stance that you agree with?
No, it's just not true. And the state auditor found in the 2018 report, those findings suggest that the program is being abused in Hawaii. So this is not a report that came out of the ACLU or a similar organization that does this kind of work. This came out of the state auditor. So their findings indicate that it is being abused. It is a problem here. So the audit found that in 2015, over a quarter of all closed forfeitures were done without any corresponding criminal charges. An additional 4% of cases had no criminal conviction tied to them. This means that in roughly a third of forfeiture cases closed in 2015, there were no criminal convictions in connection with the forfeiture. So these are legally innocent people in almost a third of all cases that had their property taken away from them and auctioned off.
Do we know what is done with the money that's generated from the seizure and sale of private property?
First, costs for the administration of the program would be paid out, so the auction fees and holding, storage of the property, things like that. And then 50% is going to go into the criminal forfeiture fund, which largely funds the salaries for the asset forfeiture division of the Attorney General. And then 25% is going to go to the law enforcement agency that took the property, usually the police departments, and 25% will go to the prosecuting attorney's office. And then law enforcement can also request funding out of the criminal forfeiture fund for things for limited purposes like training and things like that.
So if these funds are paying salaries, that's an annual recurring expense that needs to be met, which means that if not on paper, that in practical terms, there is a quota of money that needs to be raised from doing this every year.
Yeah, and the governor also mentioned that this allows law enforcement to get things like equipment or training that they wouldn't otherwise get. These are not good reasons to keep this program going as it's currently being used, because civil asset forfeiture is intended to stop criminal operations, not pad police department budgets. It should in no way be relied upon because it should be an unstable funding source, so we shouldn't be relying upon it at all. And the fact that it clearly is being relied on by our police departments indicates that they may be engaging in policing for profit, which is exactly the type of practice that this legislation is meant to prevent.
Manny Fernandez is the policy director for the ACLU of Hawaii. Others expressed disappointment with the veto, including Representative Joy San Buenaventura, who authored the bill. She says that with the recent corruption convictions we've seen in Hawaii, lawmakers must work hard to ensure that their public officials follow clear ethical guidelines when doing their job.